Welcome back. This is Dr. John Paul along with Minister Linda as we continue our study of God's divine love, nature, and character of Christ. Today's teaching is God is love. You know, there are very important parts to God is love in the teaching that we'll have today. And one of the first that we're going to look at is God's desire for remorsefulness. God's desire, number two, God's desire for a demonstration of love. And number three, God's demonstration and devotion of his love nature. God is love. What greater love can be found anywhere than what God has done for each one of us? The Word of God clearly tells us this answer. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 through 9, 11, 15 through 16. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. Let's stop for a moment and bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before your throne of grace to say thank you, Lord, for the love that you showeth towards us. Now, as we study your word, let the love of God sink into our hearts and minds that we may live according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, sin comes up against the obedience to God. We either choose to accept or reject God's truth, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Sin is choosing to walk in darkness, which is in the flesh. It is desiring the ways of the world over Christ's likeness. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23, and God in him. Death refers to being separated from God during our eternal life. Yes, there is an eternal life or eternal damnation. When our time on earth comes to an end, our bodies will cease to function, but our spirit soul goes on living and returns to the Creator. According to Ecclesiastes 12:7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Saying you believe is not enough. It is the motive and intent of the heart which God discerns. True repentance unto penitence, that's remorsefulness, requires mourning and remorseful sorrow for one's sins, knowing and acknowledging that all sin is against God. In subpoint one, I'd like to go to Micah 6:6 through 8. What is required of you? Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. Verse 8, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Matthew 5:3 also says that we must arrive at spiritual bankruptcy. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Warning. The next statement is not often taught or preached, so please listen and heed what I have to say and offer to each one of you. Remorsefulness is all about the motive and intent. One's motive and intent is discerned by God. He reads our heart at all times. True remorsefulness means you have made a 180-degree turn away from sin, and now you move directly towards Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It is at this point one is sorrowful, mourning and grieving for all that you've done. Only you can do this, as no one else can do for you, knowing that all sin is against God. You've arrived at the state of admission. Admit you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and you are in need for forgiveness. Submission is now required. One must surrender to Christ and give up the old self and the old way of life. There's nowhere else to turn. That reminds me of the movie, An Officer and Gentleman, when he told him, he said, I have nowhere else to go. Remission is when Jesus Christ forgives you and applies the blood covering that he shed on the cross for each and every one of us. He died for our sins that we might have eternal life and live with him eternally. Key, mourning and grief over our sins. We must come to the realization that all sin is against God. Subpoint 2, each sinner must remit. One must come to God for forgiveness of their sins and be remorseful for them. As Matthew 5:4 says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. When one finally comes to this point in life, then the healing begins and a new life can begin in Christ. In Luke 13:3 says, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Psalms 51:1-12 also says, according to verse 2, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Yes, that's right. We need to be cleansed by God, Christ shed blood that he shed for us on the cross at Calvary. He is the only way to salvation. Jesus Christ became the great exchange, the one who took our place on that cross. Now we must become ambassadors of Christ for Christ. We are to serve him and be fruit bearers. How? By spreading the good news of salvation and Christ overcoming sin and death for us. Jeremiah 23:16-18 tells us not to listen to false teachers and false prophets who will not teach the truth nor obey God. God's fury will come upon those who do not lead the church in a proper way nor speak the truth from God's word. In Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 1-9, we're also instructed to be watchmen and to warn people of God's coming wrath and their eventual doom and destruction. Also, watchmen are to prepare. That's like in today's time of this pandemic. We are to be watchmen for God and warn them that they must return to God from their previous ways. Past besetting sins in Psalm 139:5-23-24 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in an everlasting way. In our second session, God's desire for demonstration of love, good character, 1 John 2:28, and now little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him in coming. We got to give up self in Luke 9:23-24. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And number C, God is love, 1 John 4:7-12, especially in verses 7-8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Our fourth item, item D, grant God control. Galatians 2:20 is what Paul said. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. In our third section, God's demonstration, devotion of his love nature. First, a chosen generation, 1 Peter 2:9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. We're anointed, 1 John 2:18-22. Look at verses 20 and 27. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have that knowledge. Verse 27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in ye, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things in his truth and is no lie. And even as it taught you, ye shall abide in him. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. C, cannot hate his brother. Watch this one, 1 John 4:18-21. Let's look at verse 21. And this commandeth commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. D, guaranteed and sealed. I love this one. Ephesians 1:3-14. In whom ye've also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. That's right. We have a promise and are sealed by the Holy Spirit. So what can we do 2 Chronicles 7:14 is very important. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear them from heaven and will forgive them their sin and will heal their land. If you don't choose Jesus, you've already made the decision to reject him. If you reject him, you forfeited your eternal life in heaven.
I'm Minister Linda here today to talk to you about the heartbeat of God's love. God's heart beats strong for the love of his creation. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." In other words, no eye seen, no ears heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. The power of God's love is vested in the great I Am, the God who can do above, beyond, and exceedingly more than we can ever comprehend or apprehend. Without the love of God through the Holy Spirit that must live within, we lack spiritual insight, for we are born into spiritual dullness, blindness, and ignorance. For the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. It is only through spiritual discernment. It is a gift given by God. When we receive the Spirit of God, we are able to spiritually discern the things that are freely given of God. Spiritual discernment comes from the Spirit indwelling us. The Spirit is our inspiration and guide to true wisdom. Spiritual discernment gives us the gift of spiritual judgment in all things, yet we are judged by no man. Spiritual judgment allows us to discern the needs of the depressed, oppressed, the poor in spirit, the brokenness and contriteness that comes from the frailty of humanness, so that we can outreach and lead others to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We are not to judge, condemn, or self-condemn. Matthew 7:1 says, "God commands us to judge not, lest ye be judged." Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus." Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." We are to operate in spirit and in truth. When we accuse false accusations, we abuse, stealing the sovereignty, dignity, honor, and integrity of the Almighty Sovereign God and His people, and we shall become as waste and refuse in a desolate place. False accusations births vain imaginations, which brings us into spiritual warfare in the mind. Gather the facts, operate in the truth, condemn and judge not. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Romans 8:6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Philippians 2:5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." We are to be Christ-minded and to walk in Christ's likeness. Romans 8:38 tells us that God's love is an inseparable love. It is a persuasive love. It's a wonder-working, miracle-making love. It's a powerful love. It's a victorious, glorious love that wins us over through the victory won at Calvary. It is a love which is submitted to and committed to and brings us into and under the divine influence of Christ Jesus, our Redeemer, Counselor, and Friend. His divine love is a wake-up call that gives us enlightenment and inspiration to the fact that He is all we ever wanted or all we will ever need. His love gives us great assurance. Romans 8, 38-39 says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Christ Jesus is our divine direct connection to God the Father. Love is the umbilical cord that attaches us to the vine. When you are attached to the vine, you will be able to say with great joy and zeal, "Jesus is mine. The Word is mine. Every word, every verse, every line, every chapter is mine." You will have a burning heart's desire to seek the greatest gold mine of God's marvelous love story that will come alive and impart the very depths of God's love in your heart, never to depart. God's richest treasures to behold, greater than rubies, sapphires, diamonds, or gold, are birthed through seeking His divine love nature and character, which is found in His living word, that you might become love transmitters, water carriers, grace dispensers, peacemakers, and peacekeepers by bearing the fruit of the Spirit. The Lord's power, the strength of His Spirit, and the force of biblical truth are required for victory. We must grow through Calvary on the other side of resurrection to receive the virtuous resurrection power of God's unconditional love. It's all about the cross, where the living waters flow, the redeeming blood bestows, the cascading waterfalls generates and keeps us from becoming degenerate. I want to share with you one of the greatest chapters in the Bible, Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise God for the reading of His Word. I want to reiterate Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We cannot sin against God, taking God's grace for granted. The misappropriation of God's grace will destroy the disposition of God's grace unto you. The abuse of God's grace, which is His unconditional love, His unlimited grace, His forbearing long-suffering, is forbidden. We must die to sin, dying with Christ, in order that life may be resurrected out of death, so that we can come into and walk in the newness of life. The old man of sin must be buried in Christ so that the new man may come in union with Christ in a spiritual resurrection. Our old man is crucified with Christ so that the body of sin might be destroyed, so that we might not serve sin. For when we are dead to sin, we are freed from the bondage of sin. Being dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him and will radiate his love, life, and light. Our old life is to be reckoned as dead, and we are walking in a new spiritual life, living unto God. The life of Christ, which is the love nature of Christ, is the love walk we must make. Sin is forbidden. We must walk in submission to the Lord, resisting temptation and unrighteousness. For we will have undergone spiritual resurrection, being a chosen instrument of God, that we might walk in the new dispensation of grace. This makes us a grace dispenser, drawn into God's love and obedience through his imputed and imparted righteousness, drawn into spiritual liberty with a renewed heart of thanksgiving and rejoicing unto God, to become a faithful, loving servant. This enables us to bear spiritual fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life, bearing the gift of wholehearted love unto God and our neighbors through Jesus Christ our Lord. God is love. God is the God of abundant love, which brings us into spiritual abundance. He brings us into spiritual abundance of love, joy, and peace. God brings us into abundant life. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Abundant grace. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." He gives you abundant power, abundant supplies, and abundant entrance. Remember, the person who rubs you wrong is the one who is the coarse sandpaper polishing your vase so that you might shine and show the love, life, and light of Christ. Be a sunbeam of God's love. God's abundance comes from walking in the divine love nature and character of Christ, in the Spirit, being Spirit-fed and Spirit-led. Remember, we are to strive and thrive in the love of Jesus Christ, leaving no unfinished task. Love God's way. Listen now to Anita Keys sing Unfinished Task. If I care.